as I said a second ago, the Lord is truly in this place. His presence is everywhere. His presence is in every seat, next to every one of us. And if you wish, close your eyes for just a second and imagine him standing here. Imagine him walking through the doors as Jesus is here to give you his love and his presence. I have a little story that I want to give to you, but before I give it to you, I want to tell you that today I'm going to share with you that there is a bridge from scarcity to abundance. There is a bridge. Thomas Aquinas said that love takes up where knowledge leaves off. And the bridge from scarcity to abundance is none other than gratitude. And we forget about that sometimes. We forget about that. Did you wake up this morning? Did you take a breath? Wow. Did you say, thank you, God? Some may say, well, he's woke me up for this many years. Well, that would be fine. But you sure don't want him to skip a day, do you? No, not hardly. Not hardly. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you know what the longest distance in the world is? Does anybody know? Did you know that the longest distance in the world is from here to here? Ooh, that doesn't sound possible, does it? But it is. The longest distance in the world is from here to here. And when our knowledge gets distorted by our arrogance and our illusion of control, we're living in scarcity. We're living in scarcity. The abundance and goodness of God go hand in hand. And when the Israelites were freed from Egypt, they all praised God, and it was a hallelujah time. But, that's a big but, isn't it? But things begin to get hard, and things begin to get tough. And they became anxious, and they were hurt, and they were frightened, and they were angry. They wandered. They wondered and wandered. And they wondered if they should go back to Egypt. Things were not good there. They were horrible. But this was different. This is something different that they weren't used to. So they wondered if they should go back to Egypt. They had expectations of what it would be when they came out. And when Moses went up to the mountain, they expected him to come right back. They expected him to hurry back, but he didn't. He was up there almost 40 days. Wow, where was he? And when he didn't come back, they made gods of bronze and gold. They could not wait. We know this. They could not wait. We've heard the story many times. God says he gives us life and he gives it more abundantly. But what does that mean? Does that mean that all my expectations are met? Does that mean that? Let me suggest that what if he wants to do much more than our expectations, more than my mind can possibly comprehend? What if God didn't want to meet our expectations? Can't even say the word. Because he wants to exceed them. The way he moves us down the road of faith may be to disappoint some of our expectations. But then maybe our expectations are out of balance. Maybe we're living with unbalanced expectation in scarcity. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Mary enjoyed the presence of his company, but Martha had the pressure of his company. Have you all been there before? Sometimes when we have a Thanksgiving or a Christmas dinner or any other kind of dinner for family and friends, they sit down and they enjoy. But those of us who are doing the Martha thing, we feel the pressure of the presence, not the glory of the presence. There is much more on this road that we travel, and it can get messy, as we have seen. As we say, but I've prayed. Let me suggest that what if he wants to do much more, again, than our expectations? Much more than my mind can comprehend. What if God didn't want to meet our expectations because he wants to exceed them? I had never thought of that before. Maybe he wants to exceed our expectations. As I said, Mary enjoyed the presence, but Martha was pressured by the presence. Do we remember that Jesus didn't go immediately to heal Lazarus? Mary and Martha expected Jesus to come when Lazarus was sick. But there was a greater miracle to be had. From scarcity to abundance. In abundance, we receive peace and freedom from fear, hurt, and anger that hold us hostage, the things that paralyze us and keep us from enjoying the goodness of God. The Israelites' gratitude was paralyzed for a time, and Mary and Martha's gratitude was paralyzed for a time. But the neat thing was, he was always there, and he is always here. Gratitude is not necessarily an attitude, but it's a knowing, it's a way of life. And on this road trip of the Psalms in this Lenten season, there are signs along the way. They tell us, don't feed the bears. Don't feed the mountain lions. Don't feed the wolves. Don't feed the moose. Don't feed the elk. And down here, don't feed the alligators. But we say, they are so cute. They're so sweet. They're little animals. They need their food. Let me share with you a little story about John's grandmother, who was a lovely lady, lived near the Orange River, but she felt so sorry for the alligators. And she was feeding them. Uh-oh. But one day, an alligator chased her up the backyard. And if her neighbor had not seen it, the alligator would have gotten her. And she fell down, but the neighbor came with a broom and started beating the alligator on the nose, and he took off. So sometimes when we feed our hurts and our angers and our fears, it can have disastrous complications. It can have devastating consequences. And we have to respect the animals. We do. We do. We have to respect them. Our focus gets distorted. Everything God created was good. He said so in Genesis 1. In the Garden of Eden, Satan told Eve that she would become like God if she ate of the tree that God said, no, no, no. And he said, told her that God was a jealous God, and God would get jealous because after all, you'd be like him. And so she kept looking at this, and he kept her focus on what she did not have instead of the hundreds of trees she did have. Scarcity instead of abundance. Gratitude is the bridge between scarcity and abundance. And that's what he's been trying to do to us ever since he fell from heaven. He tries to get us to focus on the things out there instead of the goodness of God. In Psalm 8, God has perfected praise in infants and nursing babies. And as Jesus traveled the road to his destination, we travel the road of life with him. Have you ever noticed a little baby when they're born, they take that first breath, and they're praising God? We don't hear it, we don't see it, but you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their eyes. And when they're even small, they reach up to us. They reach up. Mommy, Daddy, please, please take me. Meet my needs. Love me. Isn't that right? And we are God's children. We can reach up in praise and honor and glory to the Lord, who is good in all things. Good in all things. We say, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He is always here with us. We may not recognize him, but he is always here to be with us, to guide us, to lead us down the road of life, even when it gets messy, when it gets very messy. And we think that we, how can we be grateful? But he didn't say be grateful for thing. He said be grateful in everything. So we learn to be grateful, to say thank you. And when I look out here at all of you and all of those on Zoom, how grateful I am that we can have Zoom, that not only can we be here together, but we can have people who can see us and who come to these services. When I'm in Missouri, I go to 3 services on Sunday morning. Am I doing it wrong?
No, we're having an issue with that.
Are you having an issue?
Yeah, can you put that off and use it?
Yeah, I have issues.
Okay.
A girlfriend I used to have who passed away 5 years ago, she said, all our issues are in the tissues. And that's true. Everything that we have lived through, everything that we have experienced makes us who we are today. It doesn't matter whether it's good, bad, uncomfortable, or wonderful. It makes us who we are today. On the road that Jesus traveled, there was a rest stop. Did you know that? And the rest stop was at Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. I had a question put the other day that I really never thought of before. I just accepted. How did Judas know where to take the soldiers to find Jesus? Did you ever think of that? How did Judas know? He knew because when Jesus was in Jerusalem, the one place he went to pray was at Gethsemane. And he knew where he was. Was Jesus afraid? Of course he was. Of course he was afraid. That's why he said, Lord, please, Father, let this cup pass from me. He was afraid. Don't we all get scared? I'm scared right now. Got news for you. I'm scared right now. Will we say the right thing? Will we do the right thing? Will we wear the right clothes? Will we be the right person we need to be? Will we be a good servant of the Lord? Who knows? Only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit knows. And it doesn't matter what we all think of each other. What matters is what he thinks. And you know, when David was complaining to God and telling him how he felt, he was hurt and he was scared because all these people were coming against him to kill him. But he said, oh Lord, how majestic is your name. And he made all of these things for us. We get so focused and caught up in all of that out there that we forget the intrinsic stuff in here. Now, I'm going to share with you something that might be uncomfortable for some of you, but I'm going to share it anyway because it meant a lot to me. When I was working, I worked in a hospital for 20 years. I saw things that most of you will never see. I experienced things that most of you will never experience. And I had a patient one time who had a different kind of extreme heart surgery. And when I went in to see him, I noticed that they had not closed his chest. There was a big piece of tape right here. And I could stand and watch that man's heart beating. That's what God does with us. He watches what's on the inside, not what's out there. And the devil tries to keep our focus on what's out there and not what's in here and the goodness of God. I want to share with you a little story that I happened to find this morning in my Bible that I've had for many years. I love this story. And it says, Dear Anita, your story illustrates what's really important in life. Read on. How rich are we? One day, a rich farmer took his son on a trip with the purpose of showing him how poor people can be. They spent a day and a night at the farm of a very poor family. And when they returned, the father asked, Well, how was the trip? And the son said, Very good, Dad. And the father replied, And what did you learn? The son said, I saw that we have a dog at home. They have 4. And we have a pool that reaches to the middle of the garden, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lamps in the garden. They have stars. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have a whole horizon. His son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we really are." It's a good story. And in that, I want to share with you some things that I have experienced in God's beautiful world. Living on a farm, it's out in the open, except that houses are beginning to move in. But one night, I used to go out every 2 hours to check the animals who were having babies. And one night, I was out there somewhere between 3, maybe 4 in the morning, and the stars were bright, and the moon was shining. And I'm walking toward the barn, which is quite a ways from the house. And all of a sudden, this huge owl flew over my head. I had no idea that their wingspan was so great. They are absolutely huge. And he was quiet, and the night was still, and it was beautiful. It was God's creation. Another time, it was snowing. And I went outside approximately the same time. And there was snow on the ground, but you could hear the snow. It was that kind of icy snow, you know, that you could hear hit the ground. And out there was a flock of sheep. They were laying completely covered in snow, except their heads, chewing their cuds like the cows do, perfectly quiet and happy. God's creation. Another time was in 2007. When in Springfield, Missouri, we had this huge ice storm. I mean, it covered absolutely everything. Wiped out all electricity and everything in the entire city. I mean, it was dark. Well, to make a story kind of short, just kind of, though, we have 2 houses up there on the farm. One of the houses, the heat has electricity, kind of. The other house, it's all gas. So we moved to the house next door where it was gas. And I'm laying there at night in bed, and all you could hear was the cracking of the ice on the trees. But because there was no electricity, there was no subliminal noise. It was totally silent. And I thought, wow, isn't this amazing? This is what silence is. Another time, I went with a girlfriend to Dodge City, Kansas. And it was cold. It was in March. And we went to the Santa Fe Trail. And I looked out. And you know, Kansas is flat. If you've never been to Kansas, it's flat. Flat. And I could see all of these cities or towns out there lit up. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness. When people were coming west, there wasn't that. All they had was their little campfire, and everything out there was total silence and total darkness, except for the cry of coyotes and mountain lions. Total silence. Do we ever sit and get quiet before the Lord? I have a hard time doing that, but I have a place in the house where I am learning to sit quiet and listen to that still small voice that he speaks to us. When Jesus traveled to Gethsemane, he cried out, "Lord, please let this cup pass from me." As we cry out today at things that happen to us along our road that we travel. And on the road, we are really seeing what's on the journey. Or are we trying to figure out what's around the bend? We all want to know what's ahead. But if we do, what good would it do us? Isn't it better to live just today in this 24 hours that God has given us, that he woke us up this morning for and gave us breath to breathe, and we say thank you? In the journey of the Psalms, David is being hit on all sides. And yet he chooses to put his focus on the goodness of God. It is beautiful. It is hurtful. It is painful. But he has learned from childhood to sit quiet and wait for God to do what he could not do himself. And he didn't have God's word in a book like we do. He didn't have this book, this Bible that we cherish. But he did have intimacy with God. In the quiet of the fields tending the sheep, he could hear God's voice. We tend to look at what looks, feels good, or tastes good, or smells good, but that's not always what's good. Sometimes the uncomfortable is what leads us from scarcity over the bridge of gratitude to abundance. God is either protecting us from something or pushing us to something better. Maybe not meeting some of our expectations is better for us. Maybe it is. The path that God has for us contains his perfect will. And at some times, we often get off in his permissive will. We forget our gratitude. And yet that bridge gently brings us back to the path that leads to him. In the Psalms, when David strayed from the path, he found his way and realized the majesty and awesomeness of God. He went from scarcity to abundance through the bridge of gratitude. God said it is all good. It only becomes bad either when Satan or when we distort it. Because all things under him are good. He made us a little lower than the angels. We are created in his image. And even as God takes note of us, he gives us dominion and caretakers of all that he created. But because we are so busy, we at times miss the magnificence of his creation. You are created in his image. Everything that you do is a gift to God. Your life is a gift from him. Sometimes we think we're not enough. We're not good enough, sweet enough, kind enough, smart enough, pretty enough. But the problem is, who knows what the word enough is? Only the Lord knows what the word enough is. You are good enough, sweet enough, kind enough, pretty enough, smart enough, because he made you. And you don't have to go to another country. You don't have to be great in the community. You just have to be who God intended you to be. He intended you to be. He intended you to give of his love to others. And you don't have to give anything great, but isn't this the most wonderful thing in the world that we reach out with food to those who have less? We have been so blessed that we can give back. And even if we're giving back in just a smile, and we used to give in hugs, we are giving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go on this road trip and follow him to the cross, we take up our cross and we follow him and kneel at his feet for the Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God, who came to give us salvation. Jesus did not come to make a religion. He came to give a relationship. And isn't it the most wonderful thing in the world to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, who made all of this to his glory and for our good? So I would like to give you a challenge this week and next week and the next week and the next week and all of your life. Write down every night 5 things you are grateful for. Woo, let me tell you. It takes real searching out sometimes. I work with a lot of girls who come from bad situations. And I tell them this is their first assignment. Every night you write down 5 things you're grateful for. Ick! And I tell them, I don't care if it's a blade of grass or a fly on the wall. Write down 5 things you're grateful for. You'll find after a while, wow, you're going to have to search a little bit. But it is a blessing. And you know who will change? Not the things around you, but you will change. You will change. Your circumstances will change, but you as a person will change. Pray. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who come against you. And even though David was angry and could pour out his innermost feelings to the Lord, his innermost hurts, his innermost angers, he could pray to God's goodness and majesty for what he has done for us. So as I said, I challenge you to write down 5 things you are grateful for. As our closing hymn, what I would like to do is for you to just sit quietly instead of standing. I want you to soak in the words of this song and let it become a part of you, for we worship only the Son of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, so you are full of the anointing of God, and you can send that anointing to others. And we send that anointing to those we have prayed for. We ask him to bless them with the blessings that he thinks they need. Those that need healing. Those that need restoring emotionally and spiritually. And as Pastor said, our military who keeps us safe. These men who have worked hard to keep us safe. And any of you who are veterans, thank you. Thank you so much, because of you, we can come here, because God has helped you to do what you needed to do. We can come here, and we can come on Zoom, and we can worship the Lord. As I said before, I go to 3 services when I'm up in Missouri. I listen to Dr. David Jeremiah. I come here, and then I go to the local church. I am churched up, let me tell you. That is only on Sunday, though, that I'm churched up. I have to keep reminding myself that each day is a gift from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and his magnificent creation that he has for us. His magnificent creation. Amen.